हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so now we're continuing with the prayer unto the lotus feet of Krishna by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Prabhupada, on board the ship Jaladuta, September 13, 1965. Then this... Okay. By His strong desire, the holy name of Lord Krishna will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. Oh, we read this, right? In all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. Tahale ananda hoy, tabe hoy, digvijay. Chaitanyer kripa atishai. Maya dushta jata duki, jagate shabai suki, Vaishnaver icha purna hoy. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Footnote 13. Therefore, a Vaishnava is called Paradukha Duki. Paradukha Duki. Yeah. Vaishnava is not simply interested for his benefit. Vaishnava is interested for the benefit of all living entities. Never mind whether he is high or low. It doesn't matter. Panda Lecture, Delhi, November 21st, 1971. Right? So that's why he's saying all the Vaishnavas' desires will be fulfilled. Because when they see others are happy, all the living entities being absorbed in Krishna consciousness are happy, then they become happy. That's the symptom of the devotees, is that their happiness is seeing that others are happy. Not just that themselves are happy, like that. Se karja je koribare, agya jadi dilo more, jogya nahi an dinahina. Tai se tomara kripa, magi techi anurupa, ajinumi sabar pravina. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish the mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy. For you are the wisest and most experienced of all. Tomara, yeah. So the Vaishnava never thinks that I am doing this. He always just thinks I am the servant of the servant. So if Krishna gives us mercy, then we're able to do, following in the footsteps of the Vaishnava. So it's not that we have the capacity. No, it's that the Lord himself, He, by his mercy, he bestows that. As we saw before, is that Jiva Goswami is talking about the sun, through his own potency, removes the cloud of ignorance that's covering the eyes of the Jiva. And then, by his own potency, the sun is able to be seen by the eye now qualified to see the sun. Right? So, the devotee, then he thinks, I am servant to the Lord. And by that service to the Lord through the acharyas, then he becomes qualified, then he can do so much like that. So that's why he's saying, I'm begging for your mercy that I may become worthy. You know, he'll never think he's worthy, but we see is that by that attitude, he's automatically worthy. Tomar se shakti pele, guru se bai bastu mile. Jiban sartak jadi hoy. Se seva paile tahale suki hale tabe sangha bhagya te miloy. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one obtains the absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. That service is obtained and one becomes happy and gets your association due to good fortune. Yeah. So then by serving the spiritual master, one attains the absolute. By the grace of Krishna, one gets guru. By the grace of guru, one gets Krishna. Like that. So then one becomes fortunate. Evam janam nipatitam prabha vahi kupe. These are Bhagavatam verses. Evam janam nipatitum prabha vahi kupe. Kama bikamam anuyah prapatan prasangat. Kritvat masat surasina bhagavan grihita. So ham katam nuvishrije tava brityase vam. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well of snakes, full of snakes, following the great populace. Right? So if you follow the populace and that where they're going, they're following into this blind well full of snakes, like that. But your servant Narad Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrsingadev, Bhagavatam 2.9.28. Oh, this only has one. It's the other one that has five. Right? No? Means this song that Prabhupada wrote here, this has only one Bhagavatam verse in it. Think another one of the songs that has five. The next one has the five. Okay. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that in the material world, we'll just follow along with what everybody else is doing, what our friends or, you know, whoever inspires us is doing. And that just entangles us in the material platform. But we see when we come in contact with the devotees, with the Vaishnavas, then we understand the transcendental position. Then we're able to act and move beyond this and get out of the material entanglement, but not otherwise. That's why not by any other process. There isn't a process of jnana or yoga or karma that you can get out. It's only by the mercy, the knowledge, by the mercy of the spiritual master in giving the proper transcendental instruction, that taking that seriously, applying that in the life, following the footsteps, then we're able to come to the transcendental. But therefore, he's saying, how could I ever leave his service? Right? So that service to the spiritual master, that's the most important thing. That's what connects us. And so that kind of aspect, if that's there, then Krishna will take us seriously, because we all have a relationship with Krishna like that. But that relationship is always through his devotees. Right? Ultimately, all relationships go back to going through Radharani. And then from her expands all the other main heads. And then they have theirs and like this. And then, you know, we will have our position serving our spiritual master. And so then in serving the spiritual master, then we have now we have that connection with Krishna. Right. So that's very important to appreciate. So that's never given up. It's not that, oh, yes, with time that becomes no. With time, it may become it's more friendly and all that. But it never that position or that connection is never lost. Just like one may have a very good relationship with one's father. I remember a TV show when I was a kid that it was about, I think, a father and his son. Maybe something happened to the mother or something. Mother may have died or something. So then the whole point was, it was about the father was the best friend of the kid. Right? You know, he was a small, you know, like 8, 10 years old, that kind of son. And so the father was the best friend, even though he's technically guru, but he can be like that. So as one advances and one comes to the transcendental position, then that relationship with the spiritual master, instead of being that in awe and reverence or like that, becomes that in friendship. But still, that connection to Krishna is always through the spiritual master. That element never is lost. That's eternal. That's why we say it's an eternal relationship. Right? So, yeah.
Maharaj, it seems this balance between friendship and own reverence is very difficult to find. Usually, it's either one or the other. It's
well, that's if you're lucky, it's one or the other. It can also be indifference and, you know, all kinds of other qualities. So if you get one or the other of those, you're actually doing good. Your question is actually, you can say, an old question that, yes, you go back 20 years, then yes, this would have been the dilemma. Now, to you get one or the other of these, you're actually doing really good. Yes, but yes, the point is there. So that's why it's, that is the point, is that the disciple has to know what is the position, what's the relationship. And so he can maintain that formality. It doesn't have to be ritualistic formality, but it has to be the formality of the spiritual master as the senior. That always has to be there. So even though, let's say with time, the interaction between the spiritual master and the disciple is more informal, still the disciple will never cross the line. You know, that point is there. And so then if that's understood, then you can function in these informal environments and still, you know, maintain the etiquette, and everything goes very, very smoothly. Like that. So it becomes important to appreciate that, because others who just drop it and don't care and all that, then the problem comes is then how will they function and work in the spiritual world? Because Krishna won't tolerate that. You know, they have to know that that's why he says here, how could I leave his service? It means we'll always be, even though they may be best friends still, when he says, that's why you see the acharyas, they're writing in their book that they're sitting there and nicely fanning Radha and Krishna. They're sitting in the kunja, and they're happy there, you know, pulling on their rope, because you're outside and you have the rope. It goes in, it swings the big fan, you know, from the ceiling. And that, and then Rupa comes along and says, leave the fan, go pick flowers. So you don't say, oh yeah, but it's so nice here, you know, I'm really enjoying this. Couldn't you get somebody else? No. They just leave the fan and go. Like that. And this is, we're talking about those on the most advanced platform, because Rupa knows what's going on in the pastime. All that they know is that they're here and taking Radha Krishna here, and it's nice, and they're doing their service, and it's wonderful. But Rupa knows that we have to set up the next, we have to be ready for the next phase of the pastime. So without flowers, we can't do it. So then you go pick flowers, and you bring back the flowers, and they make the arrangements. Then it moves into the next phase. So it's not that you sit there and, you know, oh, but yeah, it's so great. No, just another few pulls like that. And, you know, and then Rupa, out of his mercy, yes, okay, three more pulls. Okay, yes, one, two, three. No, you don't do that. You know, it's just, he says, immediately gone. So that's the thing, is that the Goswamis are our leaders. They're following Rupa. We're following, you know, our acharyas for serving them. And so in this way, then it all goes on. So if there's something there, it just happens. You can say, but that's not spontaneous, because our idea of spontaneous is whimsical. It's what I feel like. That's spontaneous. No, spontaneous means I'm completely absorbed in Krishna, and that's all that matters. So if they say, go pick flowers, I go pick flowers, you know, thinking of Krishna. You know, I'm doing this to please Krishna, I'm going to do that to please Krishna. That's spontaneous. So this point is, how could I leave this? So it means it's never left. So one is always trying to serve, no matter what the situation. So even if situation adjusts, so you can't do a whole lot, you still are doing something. Like the Pandavas, they don't have a kingdom to run for Krishna, so all the citizens of the world are protected so they can be Krishna conscious. They're now out in the forest. Being out in the forest, now then they sit there and remember Krishna. Right? So like that, then it works very nicely. There's not a problem. It's not a problem. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Then to me more chirasati. Bhuliya Mayara Laki Kai jace janma janmantare. Aji puna esu jog jari hoy joga jog. Tabe pare tuhi milibare. O Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. Right? So Krishna is where we have a relationship, eternal relationship with Krishna. Forgetting him, then we suffer in the material world. But if we again remember him, then we'll be able to rejoin. Right? That's the whole point. Tomara milane bhai, abhara se shuka bhai, gocharane guri dhina bhore. Bhore. Kata bane chuta chuti, bane kai luta puti, se din kabe habe mor. Oh, dear friend, in your company, I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning, I will wander about the cowherd pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Vrindavan. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Oh, when will that day be mine? Right. So this is the famous verse that therefore then we had the problem with the first verse. Is that fools try to then therefore take this and interpret it in their way. Because in their mind, it becomes, grossly obvious that, okay, this means this. But the point is no one else is in the pastures and fields of Vrindavan? Nobody else? Why the cows don't frolic in the forest of Vrindavan? They don't, you know what I'm saying? So it could be anything, anybody. Why they're taking it in that way? This is where the problem comes in this song. That's why then, okay, because of this verse, then there's two ways to translate the other one. Even though Chutananda did it in one way, we're going to do it in the other because we think that this other way should be brought out. But no, it shouldn't be brought out. It's not your business to bring it out. None of the acharyas do it. So who are you following? No one in our sampradaya. Appa sampradaya, hey, take your pick. But sampradaya, no one. So that's why we wouldn't do that. Even if it could be done, we wouldn't do it. And the point is that Chutananda did it that way. Prabhupada appreciated the book. Prabhupada looks through and, he sees. And so then he says, it's good. Why would we change it? Why do we think we're more intelligent? Like that. So that's why we don't. The point is then, by again coming back into the association of Krishna, by taking up that service, we'll rejoin. Then we'll be able to, perform our activities in Vrindavan. Like that. They're taking it wandering in a cowherd field. No one else wanders there. What are they talking about? Aji se subidhane tomara smarana bela. Baro asha dakilam tai. Ami tomar nitya das. Tai tora eta asha. Tumi bina anya gatinai. Today that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I called to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no other means of success. Yeah, so other than Krishna, there is no other means of success because the result is Krishna, just like we, that example. By the sun removes the darkness. The sun creates the cloud, and the sun removes the darkness. And by the sun, the eye becomes qualified to see the sun. So other than Krishna, there is no other means of success. But this means of success that he's talking about is not by jnana and yoga and karma, but it's through bhakti. So that following the footsteps of the acharyas, that bhakti, that will then bring us to the transcendental platform. And if Pandavaji, if you could read the translation to the last verse.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay, Maharaj. Just 1 second.
You have it, or Haladar? You have it?
Maybe. Yes, Maharaj. I'm reading. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna, only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you.
Okay, so this is how it opens and closes. So we can see is that attaining Krishna, that's the ultimate goal. Then how will that be done? It's by the sun. How does the sun shine on us? Through the sun rays or through the energies? So therefore, when you get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, then you will actually get the mercy of Krishna. Right? That's the whole point here. So we want to follow in the footsteps of those devotees serving Srimati Radharani, because she is a devotional service personified. She is, Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar Devotion, she's the only devotee, right? It means there's Krishna and her as the devotee. All other living entities are her devotee, the servant of the servant, you know, and then as you go, servant of the servant, servant like this. But she is the devotee. She knows devotional service. She is bhakti personified, right? And so therefore, then by the grace of Srimati Radharani, in other words, by performing devotional service under the protection of his internal potency, you know, by the direction of the acharyas, then that's how we're going to get Krishna's mercy. Then it comes to this very nice, close and sweet relationships and everything like that. That becomes the main thing. Is that good? Any questions on this or? No? Okay. So Markine Bhagavat Dharma, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada at Boston Harbor, September 18th, 1965. So the other one was written on the 15th, right? So that was, 13th. Okay. So that was 5 days before this, while they were still out in the Atlantic Ocean. Baro Kripa Kaile Krishna Adhamera Prati Ki Lagia Nile Heta Koro Ebe Gati. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me, right? So he's come to America. Now he's in the harbor. So now you're seeing America, right? And, you know, he left from a harbor in India, right? It's not that he left from somewhere else. You know, it's not that he got on the boat there down at the crossing of Loy Bazaar and you know, down at, what is it, Charchoke, you know, where the road to Mathura and the road going back. It's not that he got on the boat there. He got on at a harbor. But when you see these harbors in America, that is just like total Ugra karma, you know, like that. I mean, it's like serious, right? So therefore, in this place, what he's going to do. But the point is, he surrendered. Whatever you like, now do what you ever like. I don't know what you want to happen here. All I know is I've been given the order by my spiritual master. I've spent, you know, all this time preparing for this, trying to make arrangements and everything. Now finally it's fructified. Now I am here. I don't know what your plan is, because he doesn't know anybody or anything there. And so now, you know, we're going to you do with me whatever you like, right? So that surrender is, however it'll work out, that will be, you know, by Krishna's arrangement. Ache kichu karja taba e anumane nahe keno ani bhain e ugrastane. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Yeah, the ugrastane, you know, the ugra, it's the place of ugra karma. So that's the ugrastan, right? You know. So every place has its
Maharaj, so this is the introduction to America?
Yes. To Ugrastan. Yes. Yeah. Like that. Just means it's a terrible place. Why? Because they're doing terrible work. Big work, big things, but all it's for is still eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Like later, I think it was sometime Prabhupada was walking, I think down at the harbor in Boston with the devotees there. You know, I guess he went and showed where they landed and, you know, everything like that. And, you know, when they got there and the big works like this, Prabhupada asked, what does all this mean? You know? And, you know, so then, you know, devotees will give different ideas, you know, it's like, what do you call it? You know, materialism or this or that or hell or so many things. And, you know, and then Prabhupada says, no, sex life. And they're looking at it, this place, sex, what are you talking about? He says, and Prabhupada pointed out, is why is this place running? So that some guy who's running this can make ridiculous amounts of money so that he can impress some lady and have sex life. That's why it's going on. You know, if not, nothing's happened, nobody cares, no one appreciates him, he doesn't get any benefit like that. What's the difference? Whether you have $10,000, $100,000, $1 million, $10 million, $100 million, what does it matter? If no one appreciates and it doesn't increase your interaction with others, what does it matter? If you have the fancy car and nobody cares, you know, because that's the whole thing. Somebody drives up in their fancy car. People stop. They look. They take pictures. Whenever you come back to the car, there's always some idiot leaning on the front bumper, you know, taking a selfie and everything like that, you know. And then when they see you, they, oh, you know, go away like that. So this is what it is people think you're enjoying, but their only enjoyment is that people think I'm enjoying.
Yes.
You know? Yes. Otherwise, you ever try to pay the bills for a yacht?
No.
Right? You got to have captains that you got to pay for. They're not cheap. You got to maintain the boat. That's ridiculous. You had to buy the boat. That's even more ridiculous. Then you got to dock it unless you have your own private land with your own private thing, which most people don't. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, okay. Or if you're the, you know, sheikh of somewhere, then that's okay also, you know. You say, I think it was one sheikh came into some place, into the bay, and he has his private dock, and there was another boat there, and he got really, really angry. And I'm not sure if they, you know, somehow or another had that boat disposed of or this, or you can make this whole thing. Why is this other boat here? I said no other boats and this and that. And then when somebody thinks they could get a word in edgewise, it goes, no, sir, this is your other boat. Then it's like, oh, he even forgot he had another boat, right? You know, so in any case, if you're not like that, you got to pay for all that. So all those bills and that's the car, then there's the house, and you know, you have those mansions and all that, but then the land tax, you got to pay tax every year. You know, it's a huge amount of things. So it's not that it's just, you know, just enjoyment. They're in anxiety, and there's people trying to steal everything. There's people, gold diggers, you know, people that just come along and become your friends and want to take everything, and guys want to come and do business with you and take everything. And so their life is not any better than ours. Their anxieties may be coming from a different angle, but it's the same anxieties, right? The guy's got to pay his bills, and you think, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, you got to pay, you know, how do you say, you know, 2,000 euros in bills and all that. He's got to pay, you know, 200 million in bills. Same thing. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. So that's the whole point, is it's just a terrible place because they've just increased the materialism, the idea I'm going to enjoy more, but at the same time is no one's actually enjoying it more. Rajas tamo gune era sabai achana. Rajas tamo gune era sabai achana. Vasudev kata ruchi nahe se prasana. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion, absorbed in material life. They think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. Footnote 14. If a man is to be punished to remain in hell and eat stool and urine, then first of all, he practices such habits on the planet of Yavaraj, and then he is given a particular type of body, that of a hog, so that he can eat stool and think that he is enjoying life. It is stated previously that in any hellish condition, the conditioned soul thinks he is happy. So someone's in the middle of New York, hellish condition, but they think, oh, this is very nice. So they just become covered. That's the whole point of, you have the Jiva Maya covers the living entity. So then his situation, then the Upadana Maya, then that can, or Dravya Maya, that can then be changed. right? Because like he's saying, unless the living entity is covered, he won't think this is a nice situation. I remember is that it was interesting when growing up where I grew up, when I heard about the East Coast of New York, especially Manhattan, you know, it's just horror stories, you know, and this is in America, it's horror stories about there. And so then, you know, I never liked when I first went there, we had to leave from there to come to India. You know, that's where everyone boarded the plane. We chartered a plane. So everyone got on the plane, you know, from all over America, they got on the plane, then it flew to London, then all the devotees from Europe got on, then it flew to India. So when it came to New York, I thought, this is the most hellish place I've ever seen. This is terrible, right? And so I just thought, you know, hey, you know, what's going on here? Then when I got to India, then in India, basically you had you had the local devotees. And then of those who are not from local, they were either from New York itself, you know, or they were from London. And so hanging out with the New Yorkers for so many years, then when I went back, it would have been 6 years later, then I thought New York was a nice place. You know. So that's the thing. It's just the way the modes work. And then you think this is great or not great. You know? Like that. So does that make sense? So that's all. It's just what the material energy covers, and you don't think otherwise. So he's asking, how will they understand it, right? So then Prabhupada's, that was in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:30-29 purport. Now from renunciation to wisdom. It is impossible for anyone to surmount the two-pronged attack of Daivi Maya, that is, her covering potency and her throwing potency. The more we try to conquer this divine energy, the more powerful she defeats us by exciting us through the mode of passion and punishing us with the threefold miseries, culminating in all-devouring death. Right. So the more we get in absorbed, you know, the more she covers, like that. So that's why it's recommended the mode of goodness, because then the covering will be less. Covering will be there, and you'll still suffer. But in the mode of goodness, it's the suffering is not that the experience is light. For someone in the mode of goodness, a small thing is very disturbing, but it's within a context of something that you can easily move on from, because mode of goodness means you're performing your duties without attachment. So therefore, if your duty adjusts, you can move on from there, right? And so then that will work very nicely. But we see is that if one's in the mode of passion, especially, or ignorance, then one has great difficulty giving up these kind of, you know, endeavors. This struggle between the divine energy and the evil forces is eternal. Our inability to understand this struggle has led us to lament. Quote, in the dispensation of providence, mankind cannot have any rest. So that's quoted in renunciation through wisdom. So this. I'm not sure where this quotation is from, but Prabhupada has quoted it here. So that's the thing, is that two-pronged attack, it's impossible. So only by surrendering to Krishna, as he mentioned before in the previous song, right? Then you can actually conquer over Maya and come back to service to Krishna. So that's his point now, is he's taken shelter. That's his benefit. But now how will these individuals now in this terrible place, how will they get benefited? How will they be able to be lifted up? Because being so covered by Maya, the covering potency is so strong, and then they've been thrown into this hellish condition that they don't even notice it. They think it's great. You know, you take somebody like this out into the countryside and they kind of go, okay, now what are we supposed to do? This is boring. And so then, yeah.
So Maharaj, can we say that Srila Prabhupada is like providence? It's like...
No. In the dispensation of providence, mankind cannot have any rest. In other words, providence it means destiny, as is the result of your karma. Mankind cannot have any rest. right? Means, in other words, people are performing their activities. And in that, let's say the man is out on the street. So then he works very hard to get himself into the house, right? So there's no rest. But then once he has the house, now there's no rest in taking care of the house. And then there's family members and they want this and that. And so there's no rest. There's no, you never heard the saying, there's no rest for the wicked.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's the whole point, is that the providence, or meaning the material energy, in its performance of work, mankind cannot have any rest. So unless you take shelter of Krishna, that's the only place where there's rest.
I was understanding actually that providence can also be like a special chance or special mercy, like without
it proper can. It can, but generally when you see it's being used by the various pastimes, they're talking about providence. They're just meaning the energy that controls things. So that's why when we also use that, is we performing our activities, but then there's also Krishna's arrangement. But then he arranges how things will turn out. So then however it turns out, today's a nice day, it's not a nice day, people are nice or they're not nice. We just take it, whatever the situation, we just serve Krishna. Right? So providence here generally means, providence means the results of previous actions that are, predestined. You can say destiny is another word for providence. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There are three categories of people generally who talk about providence.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
One is those who come under the Nastikas. For them, fate is everything.
Okay.
They are called Ajitavadis something. So that is actually considered as a Nastik school. And then there are these Mimamsakas, they also little more emphasize on that. But their perspective is providence as Paramatma, who is neutral, impartial, and he just sanctions our desires.
Right.
And then as the devotees, then you mentioned the perspective that providence is just like the yoga maya arranging things, and then
yes. So
generally, many times I hear devotees taking that Nastika perspective also when they come on providence, sometimes when their questions come up.
Yeah, how does this happen? How can this happen to me? Yeah. And the unfortunate is many times this religious persons are taking that Gnostic, that irreligious view. Because at least, like you said, the second one is you accept that the Lord is there, Paramatma is controlling, but it's just happening. So you do your work, you get your results. So the other one is, I've done my work, why is bad happening to me? And then they may take it back and blame God. But here it's that, no, you do your work, you do good work, you get. So if you're getting bad results, means in the past you've done bad karma. So that's not understood by the contemporary religionists, because they see that there's only this life. They don't understand reincarnation. They understand reincarnation means this is bad habit, because in previous lives, you've behaved badly. Now you've improved. You've taken up religious life. And that's why that will be better. So, but this means what you've done in the past is so bad, it's still coming through in this life. But if you continue the religious life, then next life, it will be, that'll be less. Like that. Because they see is the aspect is that the Lord's in control. But for the devotees, then it's yoga maya, not mahamaya. So in other words, it means for the devotees, it's yoga maya. For the karmis, it's mahamaya, but, with the control of Paramatma. And then for the Gnostics, then it's just, they don't even know about mahamaya. But even if they do, they don't see the Lord involved at all. But generally, they're thinking, sorry?
This philosophy came along with Buddhism and Jainism. Jainism is everything is relative, Buddhism everything is nothing, and this is fate. These three all came at one time, and then three forms of distraction from Krishna,
yes.
From the God.
Yes, so it's because the story of the Adi Jinnah and Adi Bauda, right? So at that time, that was the original where everything comes. And then later you get, you know, and again, you know, these things come up, the options for going back to Godhead are there, but then not wanting to take it, the demigods, because they have something important, you know, they have to go back and they forgot to turn off the gas, or, you know, they got to take their kid pick him up after school, or, you know, something like that. So they don't take the opportunity. And so then all these kind of misunderstandings then come into the human society. Right? Yeah.
Maharaj.
Okay.
Also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that Krishna says, we will enjoy myself and the gopis, we will enjoy our relationships, and we will be together or we'll be separated according to the will of the providence. So it seems here also, just like this perspective of the devotee, Krishna also takes this perspective that the providence will enhance the rasa.
Yes, because it's yoga maya. Yoga, in other words, Krishna wants to enjoy with the devotees. And so then yoga maya arranges, he can enjoy with the various devotees, and the various devotees have their desires also. Like we mentioned, it's a combination between his rasa and their rasa. And so then all that in consideration, therefore the Swarup Shakti is yoga maya, then makes the arrangements in this situation, right, in the Sandini. And then therefore what activities in the Sambit can be performed, so that Krishna then continues to taste, you know, the wonderfulness of rasa between himself and the devotees. Yeah. So in here, because they're playing human pastimes, so therefore providence comes into it. You know, it's always the things, because you don't know, you know, all the different rules and all that, or what's in play and what's been done and everything like that. So therefore, then you have to understand. That's why the devotee just takes shelter of the Lord, and then from that then everything will work nicely. But how it's mechanically carried out by yoga maya, and that may be even through maha maya, you know, means we're serving Krishna, but because of our position in sadhana, Krishna's arranging that maha maya gives us these facilities, right? But you see is that when you come, some of these you see is like, let's say, like Raghunath Das, Mahamaya is not giving facilities. Krishna and Radharani themselves personally, or I think it was, you know, Madhavendra Puri that Krishna's arranging, or Bilva Mangal, Krishna's personally coming and bringing milk, right? So he may arrange through his external energy, but that's just another office of the internal. It's a transformation of the internal. That's why Krishna never, that'll come up in the Sandarbha. Krishna doesn't associate with the external energy, because he's associating with the internal. The internal transforms. So it's not like a separate energy that he has to control. He's dealing with the internal. The internal transforms. And as that is, his arrangements are made. That way he's not connected. Does that make sense? Yeah, it means your arm is connected to your hand has a glove on it, the glove is touching things. So the arm is never affected, it's only connected to the hand. The hand might be connected touching the glove. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Tabe jadi taba kripa hoy ahai kuti shakal I sambhava hoy tumi se kautuki. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic, right? Because he can make anything happen if he wants, by his mercy. Like, so that's why we don't have to depend on anyone else. We depend on Krishna. And then Krishna, however he arranges, he has amazing ways he'll arrange. But the point is that it's our dependence upon him, you know, how it'll be arranged. Yes. Ki bhave bhujhale tara bhuje se rasa eta kripa kori prabhu kori nijad bhasha. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Oh, Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy that I will be able to convince them about your message, right? So how they'll even be able to understand the transcendental message? No taste for that, let alone understanding devotional service, right? Because they're so absorbed in Ugra Karma that how will they be, they're not interested in spiritual life, let alone, you know, knowledge, let alone the practice of spiritual life, and then appreciating the person who they're practicing that towards and all that. So he's saying, just by your mercy, this will happen. So that's why he's saying, you're the expert mystic, you can make this happen, because karma, jnana, and yoga cannot make it happen. So that means it's only Krishna's potency, the chit shakti, can make it happen. Footnote 15. Kali Kaler, Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Pravartan. The fundamental religious system in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name Krishna. Unless empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtan movement. Yes. So only by Krishna's mercy can one. Yeah. So that's why you see if someone can preach in that, that's by Krishna's mercy. It's his potency that's making that happen. It's not happening otherwise. Right. You know, it's not, oh, no, but he's a good manager. That's why it's happening. Or no, he's, he knows how to deal with money. That's why it's happening. Or no, he's a very expert at logic and all that. Oh, no, he's very intelligent or like that. No, it's bhakti only to make it work. It's why would anything mundane? There's so many people who are expert at so many things, but it's not necessarily that they're changing everybody's life. You know, they have an influence in a particular area and that's it. But to be able to change someone's life, because these others aren't changing life. All there are is the same trajectory of materialism is going on. It's just becomes more refined or more developed or more successful. Does that make sense? It's not that they're moving in materialism. So there's continuing materialism, but we're here talking about the switching from materialism to spiritualism. That's the unique. That's only by Krishna's grace. So, yeah.
Maharaj, can we say that there is a relation between glorifying a devotee and glorifying Krishna's mercy?
Yes, because you see it's coming from Krishna, because when you glorify the devotees, that's why Krishna's pleased, because then it's Krishna's potency, but it's coming down through the devotees. That's why then the first offense is you don't blaspheme the devotees, because that mercy is coming down through the devotees. So our connection with the line, connection with Krishna, is through the devotees. So that's why we're very, very careful about that. You know, that's why we want to be careful and not, you know, so foolishness and things like this, that then we are careful. Okay? And so when we glorify the devotee, we're actually glorifying the Lord. That's why then, you know, there's always that rule of the 64 items that you can't, you know, you don't bow down before anyone else in the temple. And then devotees, oh, but when the guru walks in, devotees are bowing down, sannyasi walking, devotees are bowing down, or like this and that. So that's nonsense. You can't do that, this, that, blah. But the point is they're representing the Lord. That's why you're bowing down. You're not bowing down just because they think they're a cool dude. You know, like that. Wow, he has such great, you know, sunglasses, you know, like that. You know, it's that he represents the Lord and you're bowing down considering that. So that's not a problem. That's why you can have a guru puja in the temple in front of the deity, you know. But then there's always those, no, you can't do this. They're so strict on the rule. But that same person who's so strict on the rule there, are they strict on any other rule? Or are they the one that is the master of saying, oh, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules? Right? Now, if the guy who is the smarta on all rules says this, now you have a discussion. You know, it's worth spending your time trying to explain it to broaden his understanding. But the other ones who never care for the rules and regulations make this rule, then what's the motive? Why are they going after this one? Why not something else? Why not? It says there also how you're supposed to dress, and why aren't we doing that? Oh, no, we know we don't care for the rules. You know, we chant. Well, why do you care about this rule? Oh, no, no, this is very bad. Because there's a problem with authority.
Yes.
You understand? So you have to distinguish there. So if you do have someone who does follow all the rules and they make the point, then discuss it very nicely, because and you know, try to convince and show the aspect of devotional service and how it connects to Krishna. But those who are just doing others, then what's the point? What are they doing? You know, you may still also try to convince and all that, but they're coming from a different angle. Know that. Because otherwise you'll be surprised that the words they use aren't the words they mean. Because they don't want to say, I can't tolerate anybody being worshipped here, because like who do these guys think they are? He's not going to say that. So he's going to say all kinds of other things. And, oh, you know, you'll bewilder the minds of new devotees because they don't know. And then that's you here. You're supposed to worship Krishna, worship his guy. And then how is that? You know, because the deities are here, they're open. How can we do that? It says right here. They'll present all that. But in actuality, it's about authority. So one has to be careful there, because that's why then that goes on. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay, how are we doing? Okay. Tomar ichaya sabahoy maya bhasha. Tomara ichaya nasha mayara parasha. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. Footnote 16. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Right, so they come under the control by Krishna's will because they turned away from Krishna, and so they want to deal with Krishna. You know, in other words, they're not accepting Krishna's rasa that it's all his. They're accepting the point that everything has rasa, but they're not accepting that Krishna is how you say. All of, encompassing all this as his, they're thinking it has rasa, but they're forgetting Krishna, right? So because they're forgetting Krishna, therefore, then they're only dealing with the thing as rasa, as a mundane item. And so then Krishna will reciprocate with them as that rasa of that mundane item. But because it is Krishna, there are rules how that item as Krishna is going to need to be dealt with. And so you deal properly, that's called piety. You deal improperly, that's called impiety. It has nothing necessarily, it doesn't have anything to do with the local idea, the local speculation or sentiment on what is right and wrong. Right? It has something, if they all accept the wrong to be right and they all strictly follow that, they're following that. That's a piety. But what they're doing, that's an impiety. They'll get the reaction. In other words, that their mentality is, I'm doing the right thing. Right? Because not because it's just I'm convinced, but this is what the social construct is. And so therefore, I'm a pious person. I do what you're supposed to do. You know? And there, so that attitude, they'll get benefit for. But for what they're doing, that's wrong. It's nonsense. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say before the meal, the person is saying some kind of prayers or grace. They'll get benefit for that because they're thanking God for the food that they have. But unfortunately, the only food that is of worth their eating is the bread that they mentioned in their prayer. Right? You know, so, you know, all the other nonsense, those will be a reaction for it. So the both things are there. So the point is the rules apply. And so because they're dealing with Krishna as that rasa in that item, Krishna will reciprocate that. But they only bind themselves up and more because they have to have an upadhi to deal like that. And then they go on, they're trying to control, they're trying to enjoy. So they'll just entangle themselves more and more. So only then by Krishna's grace, by coming in contact with the devotees, then we start to hear about our who we are and who Krishna is and our relationship. Then you can start to get, you can start to be pulled out of that. And that's the only, because then you understand is whatever you're dealing with that, that's actually connected to Krishna. It's his potency. So you think it's this, but it's actually Krishna. So if you worship Krishna, you get the benefit of all these other things that you're trying to worship. And in the performance of my duties, I may work with these different elements of Krishna's creation, but I work with them according to Krishna's desire, not my desire. So that's why when we use this aropya and push it onto these things, that, oh, in the West, we deal like that. So what? It doesn't matter. It's still Krishna's. You know what I'm saying? You know, you may have a car. It's made in America. So it's a Ford or it's a Chevy. Like that, but it's still, you have to deal with the concept of vehicle as Krishna's laws allow. You can't do differently. You know, so that's the whole point, is that they can only be released when you understand Krishna, because otherwise, as long as you don't see Krishna, therefore engaging with items and that rasa, that taste, that's material because it doesn't have Krishna. So only when you include Krishna, now you start to become freed from that. You get purified. But until that time, no. Right? Tabe ichahoy jari tadera udhar bujabe nishchai tabe kata se tomar. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So if his point is they're so encaged, even if I talk, what does it matter? But if you want them to be delivered, then by going there and then speaking this message, then by your grace, they will understand and they'll come forward. Otherwise, how do all these people who are so materially inclined suddenly come forward? Because it's Krishna's desire. So he's pointing it out. It's not that, oh yeah, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya already did that, so now we're going to go do it. It's a matter of, yes, we're going to go do as the humble servants of our spiritual master, because we ourselves have no potency. By the mercy of the spiritual master, now that potency, we're able to do that. So it means that, why is that potency flowing? Because Krishna desires. So therefore, only when you desire, therefore it works. So when this is appreciated, then we see the preaching works. Otherwise, where does the preaching come from? Right? Does that make sense?
Maharaj, this prayer shows us the perfect attitude, perfect mentality to practice devotional service.
Yeah, practice devotional service. And we see that of a Madhyama who is practicing and preaching and associating with devotees. So we see is all these, they're all doing that. They may allude to, like the last one, then showed what is the thing, but it also showed where we're trying to go. So the Namaruchi aspect is also brought out. But it's pointing out is that the Jiva Doya is the main thing. That, you know, that's what makes that is the practical activity of the mission.
Yes.
And that's done in the association of Vaishnav, therefore Vaishnav Seva. And because you're engaged in Krishna's service, naturally, then there's going to be a taste. That's Namaruchi.
Yes.
So it's just a matter, you see the different songs, different aspects of all this are being brought out. Yeah?
That's nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Rama Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.